This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a spiritual wasteland. The word of the Lord is rare. Religious and political leaders, they're corrupt. They care more about enriching themselves than they do about serving the people they're supposed to serve. There's more social unrest now than there has been in generations. Indeed, the world seems to be falling apart. And our nation's very survival is threatened both from within and by outside forces. You know, while this sounds like a description of where we are in 2015, and a pretty good one at that, it's also a description of the world the prophet Samuel was born into 3,100 years ago. Some things just never change. In Samuel's day, Israel was in bad shape. They were spiritually desolate. Our text says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. And that was an understatement. Eli was the chief priest of Israel, and you know, for whatever reason, he wasn't able to control his two sons who abused their positions of power in the temple. They were utterly corrupt. And Eli, despite his reprimanding of them, was just unable to set things straight. And then the people of Israel, they were weary of being ruled by judges. They wanted a king, just like the nations around them had a king. And to top everything off, their constant enemies, the Philistines, were becoming more and more powerful. And for not the first time or the last time in Israel's history, they were in real danger of being wiped off the face of the earth. And into this chaos, and under the most unusual circumstances, the baby that we would come to know as Samuel was born. He would be the last of Israel's ruling judges. And he'd also be the one who would anoint Saul, Israel's first king. Samuel was born to Hannah, and she was the wife of a very devout Jew named Elkanah. But unfortunately, after years of marriage, Hannah and Elkanah were not able to have children. So Elkanah took another wife. And together they had several children. But Hannah and Elkanah stayed married. He loved her very much. He treated her right, even though his second wife did not. Every year, the family would travel to the town of Shiloh to visit the temple of the Lord, to worship, and to make sacrifices there. And year after year, Hannah would be at the temple, and she would just be praying fervently that God would give her a child. One year, in fact, the chief priest Eli saw her praying, and she was so animated in her grief, and she was praying so vigorously that Eli thought that she was drunk. When Hannah convinced her that she wasn't, that she was in fact just fervently praying, Eli had mercy on her. He blessed her. And he said to her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." And later that next year, Hannah became pregnant. And she vowed from that moment on that the child that she'd give birth to would be dedicated to the Lord. That's how Samuel, who was in our lesson today, came to be in the temple, serving under the very same Eli who had blessed Samuel's mother. Samuel had been serving in the temple under Eli, training under him, ever since he was a very, very small child. But that by the time of our lesson, he would have been a young man. You may be familiar with our reading today. It's traditionally called the Call of Samuel. And it all takes place amidst all this trial and tribulation that I mentioned earlier. There's social unrest in Israel. There's rampant religious and political corruption. And the threat of invasion was very real to them. But God calls Samuel to service, because God's about to do something brand new in Israel, something that's going to cause Samuel to be front and center. But before we get to that, I just want to address real briefly the traditional way this story is spoken about in the church. Usually preachers talk about this as an example of how we can sometimes miss the call of God in our life, or we just don't understand it. Because after all, God spoke audibly to Samuel, and Samuel at first doesn't recognize this as God's voice. He supposed Eli was calling to him. And this whole lesson then ends up being kind of an object lesson in the need for discernment. We don't want to miss God's call to us when it comes. And we don't want to mistake it for some kind of a human or cultural voice urging us to act in a certain way either. We don't want to misunderstand or mistake that call. And so this basic lesson on the need to be open and receptive to God's call is a good lesson for us as far as it goes. But as you might imagine, there's more going on in this lesson than just this. For example, on the surface, this lesson might not seem to be one that you would think that highlights the need for community among the people of God. But that meaning is there if we just dig into the story a little bit. Let me explain that. At first, Samuel doesn't recognize God's voice, even though God was talking directly to him. He called out his name. And isn't it ironic that it's Eli, the one who's losing his sight, but for whom our text says the lamp of God had not gone completely out. It's this one who's losing his sight, he's the one that's able to perceive that it's God calling to Samuel. So Eli tells Samuel how to respond if and when God repeats that call. And Samuel does what he's told. And the word of God comes to him. And that message that he gets is kind of a tough message to receive. God tells him that he's about to do something in Israel that'll make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. In other words, God's about to do something dramatic. And it all starts with cleaning up the religious corruption that has swallowed up God's house. Because Eli's two sons, who are in charge of the temple, they've become completely corrupt. And because Eli hasn't been able to restrain them, they all have to go. Remember, our lesson starts out by saying the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Things are not going well in Israel spiritually. But our lesson ends with Samuel being fully established as both a prophet and a judge. Our text says, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. So God's word is reestablished in the land. But isn't it interesting that this trustworthy prophet-to-be had to have the help of a weak and perhaps a corrupt priest to finally hear the word of God? And then did you notice how there's almost an immediate role reversal between Samuel and Eli? Samuel is the one who actually receives God's word. And suddenly it's Eli who has to hear it from Samuel. Otherwise, Eli's going to have no clue as to what God's going to do. An example of more community. First, Samuel needs Eli. And then Eli needs Samuel. And then, as it turns out, the whole nation of Israel needs Samuel. They'll learn from him that God is speaking through him and that he's a trustworthy prophet. So as a worshiping community, the whole nation of Israel is enriched. After Samuel comes on the scene, the word of God is alive and well in Israel. But I think the moral of this story for us today is that, very often we need the help of others to discern God's word in our life, not to mention God's call on our lives. And for some of us, sometimes that word has to come numerous times before we get it. And I can personally attest to that truth. 13 or 14 years ago, long before I even thought of being a pastor, long before I ever thought of going to seminary, Bonnie introduced me to Pastor Lisa. She was an African-American woman that Bonnie knew, who was said to have the gift of prophecy. As I shook hands with her, she turns to Bonnie and says, "So your husband is a preacher man?" And we were both startled by this, because the closest I had ever come to preaching was doing some presentations on church health as, during workshops as consultants. Like I said, this was a long time before I ever thought of going to seminary or being a pastor. But this preacher man comment was just so far off the radar screen for me. It just never even occurred to me that somehow God was speaking into my life through Pastor Lisa, even though we'd heard that she'd have this gift of prophecy. Okay, so we fast forward 2 or 3 years. And Bonnie and I were doing a small group Bible study with about 10 or 12 of us up in our church in Ogden, Ascension Lutheran. And during the prayer time at the end of the Bible study session, I remember asking God for direction in my life, because it seemed to me like I should be doing more kingdom work, but I had no idea what kind of kingdom work. And that night, several people in that prayer group added their voices to the prayer, asking for clarification and guidance for me. And it was very powerful. And I remember appreciating those prayers for me very much. And that prayer session ended with all kinds of, positive feelings, closeness, togetherness. But the whole session ended without any kind of earth-shattering answer to the prayer. But that answer would come in just a matter of days. God's timing, not my timing. I remember telling one friend who was usually with the Bible study, who couldn't make it that particular night, about this prayer time and how neat it was, and about all those many prayers for guidance and direction. And just very matter-of-factly, my friend turns to me after hearing all this, and he says, "Why don't you just quit screwing around and become a pastor?" And I was shocked by that. But not as shocked as I was when another friend said almost the exact same thing to me just a day or two later. Now, most of you know that I can be a little dense. And so when I was telling Bonnie about these conversations who, you know, that had come out of nowhere, she says to me, well, I'm not surprised. You asked for guidance and you're getting guidance. And then all of a sudden I remember those words of Pastor Lisa about being a preacher man. Well, long story short is that within weeks, I'm enrolled at Salt Lake Theological Seminary in their Master of Divinity program. It took some doing and some repetition and some powerful prayer, but through the grace of God speaking into my life through other people, and with a lot of prayer and confirmation, I was on the road to being a pastor, and for better or worse, a preacher man. And I'd come an awful long way from that fellow who, as a young man, dropped out of church and didn't go back to church for over 12 years because I was spiritually unprepared for the church work I got involved in. And that, I think, somehow is the real message of our gospel lesson today. Samuel had been in the temple for years, but his call didn't come until God knew that he was able to answer the call. Then the question becomes, will Samuel be willing to answer the call? Serving is no longer a question of ability, it's a question of willingness. Eli gave Samuel the correct response to God's call. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And if you think about it, there's kind of an ironic twist to the end of that story that we read in our first lesson. When Samuel thought Eli was calling him in the temple, he answered over and over again, "Here I am." Remember that? But when God actually spoke to Samuel, instead of saying, "Here I am," Samuel just acted on what God was calling him to do. Samuel began to live into his God-given mission or calling. You know, it would have taken a lot of courage for him to deliver the news to Eli that God told him to deliver. After all, Eli had been mentoring him for years. But he did it. And it put him on the road to such faithful service for Samuel that we're still reading about it 3,100 years later. So I'll just leave you with one last thing to consider. As Lily read in our second lesson, God calls us into the church so that we can be equipped to do God's work. In other words, the work of ministry, kingdom work. Coming to church isn't an end to itself. Our goal as followers of Jesus is to be about doing His kingdom work, building up His kingdom. That's a whole other sermon. We'll talk about that at another time, but boil it down to one word, and this lesson is about service. Service in God's kingdom. And if this lesson tells us anything, it's that this service that we give to God is going to change as we grow spiritually. As we mature, as we begin to grow into what Lily said was the full stature of Christ, as our lesson says. The service we're called to is going to change. Today I'm going to challenge you to ask yourself some questions. Is my faith maturing? Or is my faith stagnant because I feel like I already have all the answers? Am I not putting myself in a position where I can grow? Why? Or why not? Deep down, am I afraid that God is going to ask more of me than I'm willing to give? One time I heard Mark Merseth telling the kids in his Sunday school class, one of the best things you can say to another person is, "How can I help?" I think I might have wrenched that into a children's sermon somewhere along the way. If it's a good thing for kids to hang on to, it's good for adults to hang on to too. I think it's a good thing for us to be asking of God, "How can I help? Lord, how can I help bring forth your kingdom of grace?" The key for us is to be open to how God responds, whether he speaks to us directly or whether he speaks to us through other people. God's word for us today is to be open to his calling. And when it comes, because he has a job for every believer, that call will come. And when it does come, may we be like Samuel. May we act on that calling. May we be willing to serve God's kingdom in the way he calls us. Amen.